Good evening, everyone. It's great to be with you on the lawn here. Beautiful night. If you have a Bible, you could turn it open to Isaiah chapter 11. If you remember last week, we were in Mark's Gospel chapter 6, and we handled the first six verses together. And as always, there are so many directions that you can go when you're studying God's Word, and He sort of had us preoccupied in some of the thoughts that we went into last week. And remember, I touched a portion in verse 2 that I said I would, Lord willing, come back to. I want to come back to it tonight. It was part of the end of verse 2 when Jesus is speaking in His hometown synagogue. He's in the last year of His earthly ministry. It's His second recorded time that He goes into to the place of worship, and He ministers. His listeners are astonished. They're blown away, it tells us. They're literally in awe. Their jaws are to the ground. In verse 2 of Mark chapter 6, it says, because they couldn't believe the wisdom that Jesus had, that he spoke with, the way that He conducted Himself. Such wisdom, and then the work of His hands. And I want to come back to this thought of the wisdom of Jesus tonight. And I want to use Isaiah chapter 11 to do that. So let's do this. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Let's ask the Lord again for His blessings. There's still a few folks that are getting situated. The guys are bringing more chairs out, so if you need one, we're working on it. That's a good thing that we need more chairs. There's shade up in the front if you want to sit here. And then we'll go back through these verses, and we'll allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. So just listen in. If you're having a hard time finding Isaiah, it's sort of in the middle of your Bible. It's the Old Testament. I'm going to read you Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. If you didn't bring a Bible, you could use our CC Westside app to follow along. We have the scriptures there available for you. It's so important that you guys get familiar with the Word of God, that you're reading it, not just hearing it, so that you can know that what I'm saying is coming from God's heart. So Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, read this way. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now notice what it says in verse 2 of this branch. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might. And then it says at the end of verse 2, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So God, again, we thank You for this time. We thank You, Lord, for just a beautiful night. Thank You that it's not raining. Thank You, God, that the humidity dropped. Thank You that the sky is beautiful, Lord. Thank You for the shade, the tent, the awnings, Lord. Thank You for the seats. Thanks for our ushers that are bringing more chairs out, God. Thank You for all the servants that have come and provided coffee and drinks, God. Thank You for our children being settled. God, there's so much to give You thanks for. Thank You for the freedom in our nation where we can gather together and have a Bible study outside. Thank You for Daniel and those who accompanied him to lead us in song and praise. The musicians, Lord, just letting the sun beat on them and still singing to You with a joyful noise, playing their instruments skillfully, Lord. And they brought us right to Your throne of grace. And Lord, that's where we find ourselves now. We want to spend our time here wisely. We want to take from You all that it is that You've prepared for us through Your word. Lord, we need a break from politics. We need a break from conspiracies. God, we need a break from realities. We need a break from athletics. We need a break from school. We need a break from work. We need a break from pretty much everything, God, that is out in that world. And we need You. We need You to fill our cup tonight. And Lord, I confess that I don't have anything. There's nothing good in me to give to Your people what they need. Lord, it has to be Your Spirit that falls now. So Holy Spirit, I welcome You just to fall afresh on me and all of the hearers that are here tonight. Open the ears and open the hearts, God. Soften our hearts, that we can receive from You, Lord, the truths that are found here in this portion of Scripture. And so we give You this time, God, and we give You thanks in advance for the work that You're going to do. And it's in Jesus' name that all God's people said, amen. Okay, so we're in Isaiah chapter 11. For those of you who are just making it to the lawn, we're going to handle these verses tonight as we look at what is referred to as the sevenfold Spirit of God, or the fullness, or the completeness, if you would, of the person, as far as description is given in this portion of Scripture, to the personality, to the attributes of the Holy Spirit of God. It says, there shall come forth a rod, verse 1, out of the stem, or literally the stump of Jesse. Y'all know who Jesse is? He's the father of a guy with a really, really neat name, David. Okay, the writer here is being intentional, referring to this lineage through the line of Jesse, because that would be a humble reference, the father of King David. Israel was in such a bad state at this time. The nation was so depraved, and the prophecies that were going forth were so wearisome that in the midst of all of this, this messianic prophecy goes forth. That is a scripture portion, the Old Testament, that is speaking of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. You're talking almost 700 years before he would be born of Virgin Mary. These things go forth. And as I've told you guys so many of times, one of the great reasons you should get so excited on a Wednesday evening, even though the air is sort of stagnant, even though maybe some bugs are swarming around you and the sun's beating on your skin, right? You should be so stoked that your Bible, your scriptures, are so predictive in nature. And so much of what has already taken place that was spoken through the scriptures should stir our hearts and excite us that what's to remain to take place yet is going to happen, right? The ministry of Jesus Christ, these things are speaking of him all the way in the time of Isaiah. There's going to come forth, it says, out of the stump of Jesse, it says, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Targum doesn't even use the word branch. It says the Messiah. The Messiah is going to come from the roots of Jesse, or the lineage of David. Some translations or literally the Hebrew of that word is Netzer, N-E-T-S-E-R. That's the feminine form of the word Nazar, where we get our word Nazareth from. This is a prophecy of our Messiah of Nazareth, Jesus the Nazarene. Everyone with me? I just want you to see these things. The scripture is so rich and so deep and it's so wide. And it's speaking of the ministry of Jesus. Now, as you read on in this chapter, it ultimately is looking ahead to when the kingdom of Christ is established on earth. And it's going to speak of the millennial reign. But these characteristics, this fullness of God's Spirit, these attributes that are given here certainly speak to us of the ministry of Jesus. Remember, the listeners say in the synagogue, hundreds of years after this event, who is this man speaking with such wisdom? It was a prophecy given of Isaiah that the Spirit of the Lord was going to rest upon him, and there would be definite article, the Spirit of wisdom. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to comb through with you tonight all of these descriptions of this ministry of Jesus as they relate to you, to encourage you and to strengthen you. Because he's the same today as he was in the days of Isaiah and as he was in the times of his earthly ministry and what he will be in his millennial reign. Although what the kingdom will be like, you go on to read about it, a child can stick his hand in a viper's den, a nest, a lion and a lamb are going to lay together. Those things aren't happening right now. Those are futuristic. But who Jesus is, who Jesus will be, is who he has always been. And that's encouraging for us. It's something for us to grab a hold of. In the middle of our week here tonight, we can look at these seven characteristics, these attributes, this fullness of God's Spirit. In Revelation, some four times, it talks about the sevenfold Spirit of God. People don't fully know what it is. I don't fully know what it is, but it speaks to me, at least in the way that I see it now, to the complete ministry of the Holy Spirit, who he is, how he operates. And we see these things exemplified in the life of Jesus. You see them in verse 2 here. Take them one by one. They're grouped in twos, and there's three definite articles pairing them up. It's like a menorah. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a menorah. It's like the stem up, the center, and then the three spokes on either side, the candle, right? That's what this is sort of like, and they're paired in two. It says, number one, that this spirit, this ministry, is the Spirit of the Lord that would rest upon Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord that would rest upon Jesus. That's how he began his earthly ministry. Remember, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. It was during the pandemic that we were in that portion of Mark's gospel when Jesus was water baptized. And remember, when he comes up out of the water, the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove and empowered him for his earthly ministry. So even though in Jesus' own deity, he had all of these attributes from eternity, he, when he took on the form of a human, he depended upon the fullness of God's Spirit, which is the fullness of who he is. Complex, but yet simple, if you're listening in. Jesus, kenosis, Philippians chapter 2, he didn't empty himself of deity. He always maintained his deity, but he emptied himself into humanity. Does that make sense? So he's fully God, and he's fully man. He took on human form so that he can die for our sins as the Savior of the world. When he walked this earth and when his kingdom comes, right, this speaks of his ministry, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit empowered him. Jesus relied upon the anointing, the coming upon of God's Spirit on his life so that he can do the things that you and I read of in the gospel accounts. Secondly, it says after that here, we're going to comb through these seven things. Number two here in verse two, it says that there was a spirit, but not the definite article, the Spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is what? If you're taking notes tonight, write this down. It's the quality of being able to make good decisions. Y'all have never read an instance in any of the gospel accounts of Jesus making a bad decision. You never have. You look stunned. You just read your Bibles, right? Matthew, Mark, this isn't like a trick phrase here. I'm telling you the truth. You never read, and if you have read, you know. You've never read anything in the scriptures where it's Jesus making a bad decision and he has to go back and fix something that he did. That's what we do. Please, God, help me tonight. Holy Spirit, fall. Y'all make bad decisions. And the Bible tells us that our Savior, that his Spirit, that the Holy Spirit, they're one and the same in that sense. In their likeness, in their characteristics, he possesses the spirit of wisdom. But listen to me, please. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, cross-reference it. Paul says, not only does he have wisdom, he is wisdom. He is wisdom. So tonight, as we move through these things, I want you to be encouraged. The critics and the skeptics during the time of Christ when he was walking this earth and ministering, they recognized what I'm saying to you, but instead of embracing it, they wanted to crucify him because they were intimidated by him. Tonight, I'm encouraging you to embrace who your Savior is. He occupied his office as the Son of God, relying upon fully the Spirit of God. You need to do the same. You're not going to be able to endure apart from the Holy Spirit of God coming upon you and empowering you. In fact, Jesus said to the early church, tarry here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, until he gives you the dunamis. Listen, we're going to move through these things. Check off the list here as we move through. Where are you at with these? Are you finding yourself as you go into your week when you leave Wednesday evenings or when you leave church on Sundays, are you struggling being a witness? Are you finding yourself like shying away from opportunities to say, yeah, I'm a believer in Jesus? When politics are getting talked about, that leads to opportunity to speak of your theology. Are you shying away or are you relying on the empowering of the Spirit of God that is otherworldly to speak forth in the power and the might of his Spirit? If you're intimidated, if you're kind of constantly finding yourself like Peter at the fire, the night of Christ's arrest, denying that you even know the Lord, you need the Holy Spirit to come upon you. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. He didn't begin his earthly ministry till the Holy Spirit came upon him. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to do what he did in his earthly ministry, you need the Holy Spirit. He comes in you when you get saved, and he seals you to the day of redemption. But the upon experience, more times than not, is a subsequent experience to salvation. And you need the Holy Spirit. It's a simple, God, please, pour out your Holy Spirit upon me to enable me to stand up for Christ. If you need wisdom tonight, if you need wisdom personified tonight in Jesus, you need him just to give you the ability to make good decisions, right decisions for your life so that you could be pleasing to him, then he has that available too. What's beautiful about Christ in the Gospels is he's constantly exhibiting that he is the all-becoming one for man's needs. I'm assuming you guys got some needs. That's what you're doing here tonight. I know I have needs. We come to Christ, we have needs. We don't just come to Christ and he can't fill our cup. He has what it takes to strengthen us, to sustain us, to give us what our portion needs to be to give us the ability to endure. If you leave here tonight and you struggle, it's not his fault, it's your fault. Because he has everything that you're looking for and that you're longing for, whether you recognize it or not. If I stumble through the rest of this message and his word goes forth, then that's what you need. You don't need anything more. You need to know what the scriptures say, like Daniel just prayed, so that you can know what's available to you to embrace and to walk in, the power that you have to walk in. There's a spirit. It's the spirit of wisdom that Jesus possesses. He possesses the quality of always making right decisions. You ever look at somebody's life in the church and you think, man, that person just seems to be constantly blessed. It just seems like everything that they do, it just seems like God is behind it. He's in it. Perhaps that's because God is in front of them leading them. That is the blessed life. It's not problem-free. It's not trials-free. Like, there's going to be things that we go through because this is earth, not heaven. But there could be wisdom supplied to us from the Lord to help us navigate through. So you have not because you ask not. So maybe you need wisdom tonight. Jesus is wisdom. He has that ability. It speaks of somebody who's skillful. It speaks of a shrewdness. It speaks of a wit, if you would. He's got the wit that you need to make right decisions. Thirdly, here in this list, the Holy Spirit wants you to understand who Jesus is and what's available to you. He is the one who not only has the spirit of wisdom, but also the spirit of understanding. Also the spirit of understanding. The word more literally is translated discernment. Discernment. The ability to discern. The ability to look at maybe options. The ability to be in a position where there's decision making and the ability to know which direction that you ought to go. In the Hebrew, the word understanding has the idea of a sharp sense of smell. Sharp sense of smell. That's what the Lord, this is his person. This is what he has available tonight. What could Jesus offer me? Maybe somebody's here tonight because your friend said you should come to our tent service. Maybe somebody's here tonight just kind of checking it out, seeing what's going on, what we're all about, what we do. This is an informal way for you to sort of get your feet wet with the church. This is who Jesus is. He says this, he's got the spirit of the Lord, he's got the spirit of wisdom, and he's got the spirit of understanding. The spirit of being able to discern. If ever there was a time in human history that people needed the ability to discern what's going on in the world around them, dare I say it's right now. And if ever there were a time in the church that I believe, man, we're witnessing an apostasy, we're witnessing the things that Paul warned Timothy of preachers and teachers just tickling people's ears, to be able to discern like what's real and what's not, what's genuine and what's tried and true and what's authentic and what's full of fraud, what's not for me, you know, this is the time. And the Holy Spirit says to you and I tonight that this is what he is. He's the spirit of understanding. He gives understanding. He gives discernment. If y'all seek Jesus the way that you're invited to seek him, you'll put us right out of a job here. I'm talking that we can break this down as simply as we want. You're a young person, you're trying to figure out who to date. The Lord will give you wisdom and discernment. I'm talking if you're newly married and you're trying to figure out occupation, where you should live. The Lord will give you wisdom and discernment. He's got understanding. What ministry should I plug into? Is this friendship, is this relationship of the Lord or not? The things that we struggle with, what we do with our finances in the middle of a pandemic. We're not out of it yet. We got a lot of issues in our country right now. The Lord will give you discernment. He'll make you look a lot smarter than you are. No, I'm telling you, he does this. I'm trying to speak to you as simply as I can because I'm telling you this experientially. There's no notes in front of me. I'm telling you this as a testimony. He'll make you look smarter than you are. Just reading the Bible makes you smarter. And then applying the Bible makes you look like Einstein. The world around you will look at you and they'll see a blessed life. And it's antagonistic. I think it was all part of the design of God. So that your peers, your friends, your coworkers, your relatives that don't have Christ, they look in and they say, man, you're blessed. There's something different there. You got the spirit of wisdom dwelling in you. You got the spirit of understanding, the one who has a sharp sense to his nose, if you would, able to sniff. You know what I'm talking about? Like a dog. He could smell things from far away. He's got a strong nose, a strong ability to just take in a smell and discern what it is. That's what the Lord is like. What an advantage we have in Christ. I want to stir you with that a little bit. Okay, I like the Calvary Chapel method, but our church needs to get a little bit more peppy. Okay? I'm telling you what's available. I'm telling you what's at your disposal, if you would. This is the Lord Almighty. This is the fullness of the ministry of the Spirit of God, the fullness of Jesus. We saw him occupy these things. We saw him exhibit these things in his earthly ministry, and the fullness of it will be on display in the millennial reign. We're going to get a chance to watch it firsthand. But listen, in the meantime, this is still who he is. It's who he's always been from eternity past. Did my soul well to study? He's got the spirit of counsel. Well, what better counselor than the one who has the spirit of understanding and the spirit of wisdom? He's got this. Listen, the scriptures say this here. It says that he has definite article. He's the counselor. Like, if you can get in with him, you won't need to see anybody else. He can counsel you. He's got the spirit of wisdom. He always makes right decisions. He's never striked out before. Never. He's never missed it. There's no mess ups on his resume. He understands all things. He can discern it. So whatever's on our hearts that we bring before him, he can counsel us. How does he counsel us? Through his word. You just open his word and you move through it daily. You bookmark where you leave off and you pick up there the next day and you seek him through prayer and say, God, I need you to counsel me. He meets you. He speaks to you through his people. You put yourself in the midst of Bible study like this, man. You got a bunch of Jesus lovers here. Hopefully we got a bunch of Bible students here. These are the types of people that can speak into your life. The spirit of counsel he has. And through his peace. You ever walk into something and there's just no peace? If you're a Christian, you ever walk into something, there's no peace. That's the Holy Spirit. He governs us with his peace, Paul said. The absence of his peace, there's an unsettledness, there's a check in your spirit. That's God directing you. He's counseling you. There's a rest, there's an easiness when there shouldn't be. That's God's spirit counseling you. It's insane. It's amazing. I'm telling you guys, and I'm not doing this to my boast. I'm doing it, again, just to encourage you. I do this with everything. God, should I put in a swimming pool? I mean, I do this with everything. Like, everything that I do, I try to seek God on, and I let him direct me, and he makes a winner out of you. Anybody here to testify and just bless the Lord? Isn't that the truth? I mean, I just don't want the people who are new to Christ to think I'm lying. No, seriously. Friends, like, they try to counsel us, but they're biased, or they're limited in their knowledge and understanding, or they're protective, or whatever it would be, or they're ill-intended. There's jealousy, whatever, so their counsel is not always pure and right. I might say something, like, I might be in the middle of preaching, I might say, okay, I'm going to give my opinion real quick, and my counsel might be faulty if I get off from that's why I keep myself confined to the scripture as best as I can. I might converse with you after, and you might come up to me and tell me that, you know, your wife is so nasty, and she does this and she does that to you, and I might say, well, based on what you're telling me, then this is what I think, and then your wife might come in and say, who do you think you are, Tommy? You didn't know about this, and I'm limited. I don't know what you go home to. I don't know what goes on behind your closed doors. The Almighty Counselor knows everything. He's got the spirit of wisdom, and he's got the spirit of understanding. You guys that feel lost tonight, and you feel like you just, man, I don't know what's going on. 2020 has been quite the year, man, and I just hope things turn around in 2021. I hope everything works out with the political thing, and I hope everything works out with the pandemic thing, and I don't know what to think about this over here and the nations of it. Listen, forget that right now. Just walk with the Lord. Listen to what's available to you. The Holy Spirit's available to you. The spirit of wisdom's available to you. The spirit of understanding's available to you. The spirit of counsel. Now check this one out. And the spirit of might. That's for you. The spirit of might. It's better translated in the Hebrew, the spirit of heroic actions. That's Jesus. The spirit of heroic actions. Now here's the thing. Many would help if they could, but they are powerless. And then there are those who have power but aren't willing to help. Jesus has the power. He has all the ability to put on display for you heroic actions, and he's willing to do so. Do you see that? You see those two collide? Some have, let me say it again for you so that you're catching me in the back. Some have the ability, the means to help deliver you from whatever. And they're not going to do it, though, because they don't care. Or they're just not vested. They're not interested. They have other things going on. They're distracted. Then other people have a heart for everybody, you know, every homeless person they want to give their money to, and every missionary endeavor, and every church function, but they don't have the resources. Jesus has both. He owns 1,000 cattle on a hill. The world is in all of its fullness, and he has his affection is toward you. You see that tonight. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. That's who Jesus is. He's got the might. He's got the might. He's got the power. He's got what you need in this moment, maybe of your weakness. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe for you tonight, you don't even get it, Pastor. It isn't even like I need $10,000, or it isn't even like I need some crazy mountain to be moved. I just don't feel like I can put one foot in front of the other anymore. Okay, Paul said this, that his strength is made perfect in my weakness. That's a word for somebody, maybe. I mean, you guys could break this down with the Holy Spirit. I got like 40 minutes before the kids go bonkers. I can't break it down every which way, man. I'm exegeting the scripture as best as I can expositionally tonight with a time constraint. You let the Holy Spirit develop these things. What do you need might for? You sick of getting your feet out of the bed in the morning and going and maybe you need might to open your Bible and do devotions. Maybe you need might to get on your knees and pray. Maybe you need might to offer a sacrifice of praise. Maybe you're so weary in your spirit because everything around you stinks right now. And that's just the reality of it. That you don't even have the strength to muster up a love song to the Lord. But yet you know what the scripture says about a sacrifice of praise. Yet you know examples like Paul and Silas in Acts 16 when they're in prison and they sing to the Lord. And you want to mimic it, but you don't have the strength right now. You're just too weak. Your wife won't come to church with you. Your kids give you a hard time every time you say, come on, we're going to go. Your friends make fun of you. You're going to go to church again for the second time in 1 week on a Wednesday night. And you just need a little bit oomph. You need a little bit of just like a wind blowing behind you just to push you just a little bit more into your lean into Jesus. And the Holy Spirit says this to you tonight. That's what Jesus is. He's got the spirit. Listen, he's got the spirit of might that you're lacking. He's got the spirit of knowledge. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. You know what that means? Ain't nobody here going to be able to pull nothing past him. He's got wisdom. Some people got a little wisdom. Some people got understanding. He's got wisdom. He's got the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of understanding. Listen, and he has the spirit of knowledge. And I love that he does because you want to know what Peter says to husbands? Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Jesus is your husband if you're the bride of Christ tonight. The Bible wants you to think of your relationship with Jesus as a husband and wife. In fact, a husband and wife on earth is a reflection of Jesus and the church. And the Lord says through his servant that husbands are to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. So I'm to spend all of my days, my number one ministry according to the scripture, is to study my wife. To know my wife, to know her, to grow with her. She changes. I can't say, oh, I've known her since we were in middle school, which is true. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything now that we're where we are. I got to keep up with the changes of her, and I got to forever pursue her if I'm going to be like Christ is with the church. I got to know her. What is she like? What doesn't she like? What tickles her fancy? What doesn't? What blesses her? What aggravates her? That, and you got to do both, guys, because it's good. Keep it fresh. But I got to spend all my day. I don't got to know your wives. I don't got to know what, you know, this is for my wife, but it's not for, it doesn't matter what's for your wife or what you're, for me, my job as my wife's husband is to know her and to dwell with her according to knowledge. If you guys keep yourself busy with that, you'll have no time to be checking out other chicks. Just keep up with your wife. Just keep watching your wife, studying your wife, looking at your wife, observing your wife, and doing everything that you can to bless your wife like Christ does with the church. And then the wife responds to the husband's initiating. Jesus, our husband, says this to us tonight, okay? He says this, I know you, and I study you, and I know you, and I knew you. Your days were fashioned before you were even formed as an embryo in your mother's womb. I know everything there is to know about you. I got the spirit of knowledge. It's not like creepy and like, oh, no. It's not supposed to do that to you. It's supposed to like wow you and then woo you. He knows you. He knows you. It's crazy that the person you live with doesn't even maybe know you really. Because we could become such fakers. We could become such, you know, actors in some senses where we are able to suppress certain things so that even our loved ones don't really know everything about us. How many times does something come out about somebody after years of knowing them? And you're like, man, I would have never thought, I never saw that coming. Have you had that happen before? And the Lord says to you tonight, that never has happened to me. I got the spirit of knowledge. I know what you're like. I know what you're going to be like. I saw your days fully laid out before you ever even had one of them. I know you. It's crazy. Something can bless one person that I'm preaching right now and totally rip somebody else off. And Jesus says, I know it ripped you off. You just didn't hear it. Let me minister to you. And then over here he's saying, but that was exactly what you needed. It's perfect for you. And there's how many hundreds of people, and he can make it for each person like it's tailored just for them, all from opening the scripture. It's like a magic book in that sense. Just opening the word of God and just letting it go forth. The Lord just takes it and he ministers it to his people based on how he knows them. He knows you. He knows what you left to get here tonight, like whatever you had to battle to get out the door. He knows the ridicule you're facing. He knows the persecution you're enduring. He knows the loneliness that you're feeling. He knows how desperate you were for a word tonight in order for you not to quit. And for some of you, he knows that you're on a mountaintop right now, rejoicing, that things are wonderful. And he meets with the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, and counsels. And it tells us lastly here that Jesus not only had these attributes, but he also occupied and conducted himself in his earthly ministry with the fear of the Lord. What did he say in John's gospel? I always do those things that please the Father. Like, I only do those things that please the Father. Oh, I can't do that yet because it's not yet my Father's timing. Everything was in sync with his Father. Like, what a trailblazer to have for us. What a champion of our salvation, a captain to look to. Everything he did was according to his Father's timeline. See, because you could do the right thing in the wrong time and it messes everything up. So the Lord is here tonight to minister to us, not just the counsel that we need and not just the wisdom that we need and not just the knowledge that we need and not just the understanding we need. He's also here to say, hey, there's a timing to all of this. There's a timing for rebuke. There's a time, mom, to go and hash it out with your daughter who's giving you a hard time. There's a time, wives, to bring to your husband what's been bothering you, right? There's a timing, or it's going to be ineffective. It's going to fall on deaf ears. It's going to frustrate. There's this reverence that Jesus displayed of the Father that he's equal with, that he willingly subjected himself to the Father, that's on display for us tonight in his life and his ministry. He feared the Lord. He also was completely comfortable in his skin being around sinners because he was able to have contact without contamination. I mean, I can develop this one like crazy right now. Maybe we need a little help with that tonight. It could be anything. Maybe you're hearing, it's like, man, your timing's been bad. You're learning the will of God, and you're learning the word of God, but you're not, the way you execute is poor. The Lord says, I can work with you. I can teach you these things. But listen, he could also teach you how to be the friend of sinners without participating in the activity of the sinners. I think the church needs a little bit of that. What I see in the church that's on display all over social media is either people are getting so loose that they're just becoming like the world to reach the world. They look just like the world and act like the world. There's really no difference. Or they're so sterile and, you know, separate from the world that they're having no impact on the world. There's a balance in all of this. Like, there is to be that contact. There is to be that interaction. But it's to be in a way that still glorifies the Lord and we maintain our holiness before him without compromise. This is who Jesus is. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. You need the Spirit of the Lord to be upon you. I fully believe that. I fully embrace teaching that truth. You need the Holy Spirit to come upon you and empower you. You will not have the ability to live the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit. It is not by your might, Zechariah 4:6 says. It is not by your power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Spirit of wisdom. You need the Spirit of understanding. You need the Spirit of knowledge. You need the power and might of the Lord. You need his counsel. And you need the fear that flows from knowing him. And it goes on to read like this. We'll close out at verse 5. That this is futuristic. This is looking ahead to his reign. But I want to close with something that's in verse 5. So let's make our way there. And it shall make of him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. This is what his reign will be like. He's not going to judge after the sight of his eyes. That's so opposite of what we know. For some people, it's opposite how they vote based on how somebody looks, appears. Like, we're so, in that regard, superficial. He's not gonna make his decisions based on the sight of the eyes. He's not going to reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity or fairness, truth, for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. You guys got to go and read through Revelation when he returns, when he, at Armageddon there, how he deals with the Antichrist, which is the power of his word. This is crazy. And righteousness, verse 5, shall be the girdle of his loins. It's what he's bound with. Righteousness, it's what he wears. But here's where I want to leave you tonight. And faithfulness, the girdle of his reins. Reins is the deepest place of emotion and feelings. And the Lord wants to leave you tonight with this. This is what describes the deepest part of his feelings toward you. Faithfulness. I didn't have everyone's attention. I'm going to say it again. The Lord wants you to be encouraged tonight in the sevenfold ministry of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, of course. But he wants you to hear the intentional description of the reins of his being. It's this, faithfulness. We need a Savior that's faithful toward us. So that even when we're faithless, he remains faithful. Even when we sit in a church service, man, and our hearts are as hard as a rock, our ears are totally, isn't it crazy? Our ears are totally deaf and tuned out. We can't receive anything because we go through these funks. I hope that it helps that I'm telling you the truth. We got to ride out funks. We got to ride out that feeling of indifference. We got to push through when it's just not there, that feeling like we had in the beginning, like every other relationship. We got to push through those seasons, but we got to be encouraged that even in the midst of those, you know, weaknesses and struggles and indifferences and whatever else that we want to use as a description of our carnal state in that moment, he remains faithful. He watches over us. He protects. Man, some of you are here and you're backslidden. I used to sit in the chairs, hood up, didn't shower before I came, just totally like forced to come to church. I used to sit near my parents and just stare at them when they would sing. And my father would open his eyes and say, why are you looking at? You know, how awkward. I'm getting ready to teach and you're just staring at me. And I would just stare because I would think, man, what is that like to be able to close your eyes and raise your hands and really feel like you're connecting with God? I was so like carnal. I was so in the world. I'd be out almost of the time the church would take place the next morning. Still in the same clothes as I was out on the night before. Like some of you guys are like that. You know what I'm talking about. Faithful. Kept me safe. Did some stupid things on the weekends. Did some stupid things in the weekdays. Did some things that were dangerous that perhaps my life could have been gone, right? Like guardian angels watching over. There's no other sense to it. Just angels. Okay, I remember car crashes, getting pulled over. I mean, my parents are here, so I can't say everything, but like I started getting nervous, but like there were just things like that we did and substances that we put in our bodies and sexual activities. Like my life could have went such a different way if it weren't for the faithfulness of Jesus. Okay? And the same thing is for you tonight, even in the midst of your backsliddenness. Israel was backslidden. Israel's in the midst of being judged in Isaiah chapter 11. I'm trying so hard not to be a Bible teacher right now, but I gotta tell you, they were in such a bad place. God's pronouncing judgment. He's talking about how all the nations are gonna be cut down like a tree stump. And in the midst of all this, he says, yes, but there's this hope. There's gonna be this Nazarene, the Messiah that comes out of the root of Jesse. He's the root and the shoot. He's the origin of the lineage of David. He's the one who designed, but he's also the one that the lineage looks ahead to, the son of David that will occupy the throne forevermore. And this is who he is that we have to look forward to. God's going to be faithful, Judah. God's going to be faithful, he says. He's going to preserve a remnant of you, as bad as you are, and as nasty as the Assyrians are going to be to you, as a judgment source, as a rod in the hand of God. He's going to be faithful to still preserve a remnant so that eventually Messiah can be born into the world and could be observed by his natives when he's in the synagogue in Nazareth. And they had already tried to throw him off a cliff once, and there he is again. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him to set the captive free, to preach the word in grace and truth. And there he is. They're astonished at the wisdom. Wait a minute. They're astonished at the wisdom that Isaiah said would be in place. And instead of embracing it, they want to get rid of him. Listen, he's here tonight in the same glory. We don't walk by faith. We walk by sight. This is who he is. You don't need to get your palm read. You don't need to go read your horoscope. You don't need to go sit and talk with somebody who can help you work things out. It's not bad if you do that part. If you need a man or a woman to help you, ladies or guys, to work through certain things, I'm not knocking that or that profession. But I'm telling you of an access that you have tonight to Almighty, to the one who speaks things into existence. This is who he is. Don't stiff arm him like his kinsmen did and like those who were most familiar with him did. They were so familiar with Jesus, they didn't know him at all. We're a Christian country. And yet we're so far from Christ. Let's be that minority, the master's minority tonight, that follows him and walks with him and embraces the one whose loins are girded with faithfulness. He's faithful to you. He sustains you. He feeds you breaths when you're in your sleep tonight. He keeps your body functioning. He keeps your heart racing. Some of you need that. You got such anxiety. He keeps your body functioning. He feeds you the breaths of your lungs. Daniel said that the Lord feeds our air to our lungs so that we can breathe. He says, listen, you got so many worries. There's one thing you got to do. Seek me first and my righteousness. Some of you single ladies, man, you're going through it right now. You need to hear this. You're trying to put food on the table for your children. You're trying to figure out, how am I going to work and have my kids at home now that school is not in full session? How am I going to balance all of these things? How am I going to carry all this weight? Listen, Jesus says this. There's no heaviness. Yoke up with me. There's no heaviness. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. It's airy. It's flowy. It's wonderful. Here's what he says to you and I tonight. Seek me first, my kingdom, my righteousness, and everything you need. Matthew chapter 6 will be added to you. What do you need? You need food? Consider the birds of the air. Crazy. There they are. They're flying right now. No, that's what he would have done. He loved to teach outside. That's where he'd be. Consider the birds of the air. They don't worry. Consider the flowers. They don't toil and spin and freak out. If the Father takes care of the birds, the sparrows, and the wild flowers, how much more will he not take care of you, his daughter, or his son? You see, he's faithful. You're alone. You feel like you're the only one that loves Christ in your family or out of your friends. Look at Jesus. His family thought he was out of his mind. Like, he's going to be faithful to you in this season where you feel ostracized, ousted. The only one out of your friends that are trying to be holy and walk upright. He's going to be faithful to you. You're alone. You want to be with somebody. You're sick of going home to bed without a spouse. He's going to be faithful to you. He's going to bring to you that helpmate in his perfect timing. He withholds no good thing from us that's profitable for us. Not one thing, man. He's going to give it to us as we need. He's faithful. There's a sin in your life that you can't get victory over. Listen, instead of focusing on that sin, although you should desire to have victory, look at everything else that he's delivered you from. I think sometimes we can be so hard on ourselves, we can say, man, but I still am stuck on this. Okay, I understand that, and you should want victory, and you're going to get it eventually. But sometimes we need to stop and just look back and look at what he has delivered us from. Look, you're not who you used to be. I understand that you're not yet what you want to be, and you're going to be, but you're not who you used to be. He's giving you a new heart. He's changing your desires. Be patient. He's faithful. And he, by the way, spoiler alert, he already sees you seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He sees you finished. He's faithful. Let him develop it in your life. Take this text home. Go spend some time with it. We're gonna close this service out in song and praise because of who he is. Not because of what's going on. Not because today was awesome. Not because this has been the best summer ever. Not because 2020 has been so spectacular. Not because, you know, school kind of starts in a few weeks. We're going to just worship him who he is, for who he is tonight, for who he is tonight. It's so healthy to develop that type of, this is why I worship. If it's conditional and circumstantial, your worship will be very limited. And when you get to heaven, you're going to be lost. You're not going to know what to do because worship is the primary activity of heaven. So let's get good at it. Let's get good at it. Amen? Amen. God, bless your people tonight as we stand to sing to you. I pray that you would strengthen and encourage them, God, that you would be whatever they need you to be. You're the all-becoming one. So whatever the lack is, God, in each of our lives, Lord, I pray that you'd meet us. In Jesus' name.